This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
3, 2, 1.
Hey, welcome to another edition of the Star Chat podcast alongside the award-winning KT Fun Tweets, Kevin Turner. I'm Jared Sandler. Star Chat, as always, brought to you by Blankety Blank. They got a really sweet special coming up for the middle of October. You know, you got to get ready for those middle of October specials. I think to celebrate the middle of October, they're opening up another location in Light Farms. They're calling this the Ben Rogers location. They got some super sweet deals, Balcones whiskey for everyone who walks in there. But hey, if you want to join Blankety Blank in sponsoring the Star Chat podcast, email sam.morton@entercom.com, chelsea.dickinson@entercom.com, dan.galitz. At entercom.com.
Without a Y, though. It's like G-A.
G-A-L-I-T-Z. Yeah. Brady.LaRock. I learned his last name. At entercom.com. Eden.Lucas@entercom.com.
Andy.Brooks.
Andy.Brooks@entercom.com. He'll also send you some of his music, too. So that'd be like a cool thing. Email Andy. There's some chick named Ashley at entercom.com.
It's hard to get all the names, but those are the main emails that you should really focus on.
Yeah.
If you're trying to sponsor Star Chat.
You can also Venmo KT at at what is whatever it is, KT Fun Tweets.
Yeah. Hey, that's not a bad idea. Just to randomly just always put your Venmo out there.
If you I'll tell you what, if you Venmo us, we will mention you.
Yeah.
If you Venmo us $1, we will mention you. If you Venmo us $50, we will massage you so hard. But it's just $1 for a mention.
Give you a good rub.
I'm at Jared-Sandler.
Then the guy on College Game Day on his sign, he said, Venmo me. I'm a college student and I'm hungry. Venmo me. And he put his Venmo up there and he got $1,000.
You think he got anything?
He got $1,000.
You got $1,000?
Yeah.
Wow, that's impressive.
People just at home were like, yeah, I'll give this guy $5.
That's pretty awesome.
Enough people do it. It's pretty awesome.
There's some pretty good signs, obviously. I think I would love to know, like, when those signs are born. Is it like 2 a.m. after a party when everyone's sitting around eating their fourth meal? And
it's got to be right because the game day location doesn't really come out till late Saturday night,
right.
Sunday morning, you know? So, yeah, it's probably late night at a party. And, oh, yeah, game day's definitely coming to Tallahassee this week. It's on, you know?
And they get ready to roll.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of planning that you have for that.
That's a pretty impressive operation. I don't know if you've ever been on a campus. Like, I know...
I haven't, because I suck.
Well, no, I know you went to UNT, but I didn't know if you'd been to, like, TCU when they've had game day or Austin.
No.
Or...
like to avoid crowds at all costs, but, I would assume it's incredibly... organized.
So when they did it for USC Ohio State my sophomore year, and they gave away free Chick-fil-A sandwiches to like everyone. I mean, they had tons and tons and tons of them. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, especially when you're drinking all day.
Well, and also, you know, that's West Coast. So the start time there, I mean, you're going live at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
And
game's
not till everything is, you know, that's like 3. I volunteered. I was like the overly ambitious sophomore who thought, man, ESPN's here. I got to volunteer to, like, get a job.
You do, though. Like, that's a good way to get in.
Well, I mean, yeah, honestly, volunteering offered me nothing. But I had to get there at 3:30, and I was totally hammered when I got there because we went out the night before, and I just stayed up.
So lesson is never volunteer.
For a West Coast college game day.
Oh.
Yeah, because you literally
but volunteer for other stuff.
Volunteer for other stuff. I'm all about charity and that stuff, but don't volunteer for college game day.
Okay.
If you're going to go out the night before, if it's a West Coast destination.
Okay.
All right.
Makes sense.
Big breaking Cowboys news. Before I want to get into something a little more philosophical, there are some great Woodsons in the NFL's history. Charles Woodson and Rod Woodson, just to name a few. There's
Darren.
Robin Woods, Darren Woodson. Well, the Cowboys have gotten someone who rhymes with that, but not really. CJ Goodwin. I don't know why I thought it was Goodson a second ago.
There's a lot of good ones out there.
A lot of Goodwins and Godwins. So the Cowboys signed C.J. Goodwin. Now we're going to play a game with you. We know the answer to this, but we're going to give you a couple seconds. What position does C.J. Goodwin play? If you guessed cornerback, you are correct.
Corner! Wow.
C.J. Goodwin was signed off the Bengals practice squad. So he will be with the Cowboys. What do you make of this?
This tells me maybe a little worried about Cheeto. I guess that's really the only way to look at it. I mean, Cheeto gets hurt in the game. Anthony Brown moves outside. Jordan Lewis gets on the field finally in the slot, which pretty good cornerback depth if Jordan Lewis is the guy coming off the bench. So C.J. Goodwin, probably just extra depth they're going to add into the mix here. That's all I make of it. I don't think it's anything at all. I could be wrong, though. I could be wrong.
All right. So we'll move on from that. But that's our big breaking
news. It's not huge news.
We promise to bring you the biggest news, though, every single week on Star Chat. All right, so I thought you made some interesting points yesterday on the Ben and Skin Show, which you can hear from 3 to 7 Monday through Friday. You're talking about bringing college offenses to the NFL and how the Chiefs have someone whose job, I think it was the Chiefs, right, whose job is solely to study college offenses.
Specifically Texas Tech.
Okay, and figure out what works and how to implement some of those schemes into NFL offenses. And it made me think, you know, I remember, you know, one of the first questions I think young football fans might have, and I'm talking like when you're 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, is, well, I see the option work in the NFL or in college. Why can't it work in the NFL? And in the past, I think the answer has been, well, they're faster in the NFL. The defenses are faster, and that thing doesn't work as much. But I think what we've learned is, no, I don't think that's true at all, at least nowadays. I think if you run the option with the right people, it works perfectly. I think Dak can run it. Cam Newton can run it. You just don't want your quarterbacks getting beat up like that when you're paying them that money. Another thing used to be, well, the spread offense. Why doesn't the spread offense work? Why don't teams try it? Well, it won't work. You know, teams are too fast. It just doesn't work. And that's not true. Spread offenses work.
They absolutely work.
Maybe not identically to the way they work in college, but pretty damn close.
This is where we get to that one play in the game against Houston, the touchdown play, Dallin Hearns, where you sit there and go, wow, a double fake. And it was a well-designed play, but it's the one time you've seen it this year from the Cowboys. And, you know, you go watch a Rams or a Chiefs game, who are right now the leaders in the NFL and everything. You go watch those guys play, they're doing double fake type plays 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times a half. So, like, we're doing it once, they're doing it a ton. And you're just kind of behind the curve. You can see it all throughout the way. So, you know, another thing, let's talk about Dak running. Dak didn't run much. And for me, we'll talk about the decision, I would imagine, on 4th and 1. I would have gone for it. I think most of the world would have gone for it. To me, 4th and 1 is a very team-friendly down. But we start talking about Dak when it comes to, like, is he going to be here in the future? Isn't it time to maybe stop protecting him? Like, if I'm Houston, I don't want Deshaun Watson taking those hits that he took. But I'm pretty certain Deshaun Watson's going to be there forever. When it comes to Dak, I'm not sure. But I think it's time we need to start winning games. And if him running is a thing that we could use a little more, then I'm okay with Dak taking hits. Because you might as well use him up. He's going to be your quarterback next year. After that, I don't know. So that's where we kind of get in that thing. Like, we talk about using up Zeke.
So, yeah.
I kind of feel the same way about Dak at this point. You know, you win games, and maybe you just scale it back a little bit, but I would have liked to see Dak run a little bit more the other night.
Random question. I guess it's a cousin to that, and we're talking about the Texans here. I don't mean to make this so NFL-focused right off the bat, but does Deshaun Watson need to learn to not run as much, or is that just such a big part of his game that you're going to take a 6 to 7 year career that's going to end prematurely because he gets beat up, but you're going to get the best 6 to 7 years out of him? Or would you advise him, hey, Deshaun, we love that this is a tool of yours, but we want you to work on not exposing your body as much, become not that he needs to become a tremendously better passer, but become a better passer so that 6 to 7 years becomes 10 to 11 years.
That's tough, right? Because a lot of these hits were coming around the goal line.
Yeah.
And you start talking about getting points and things like that in a close game, you know. Like, I had a problem. I'm going to reference the Monday night game. Jordan Reed, who's always hurt, is in a 27-point game, and they throw it to him down near the goal line. And I'm like, what? Why is he taking hits?
Yeah.
Chris Thompson took a big hit for Washington. And I was like, okay, down near the goal line, yeah, but not in a 27-point game. This game was tight the whole way. And those were make-or-break game-changing plays that get you a win, especially when that team was 1-3 and needed it. So sure. I'm okay with him taking those hits in that situation. But overall, yes.
And it's like, I remember a few years ago when the Cowboys were really good, Zeke's rookie year, everyone kept wondering when you were going to, you know, maybe tighten the leash a little bit and instead of giving him 25 to 30 touches, give him a game where it's like 18 to 20 touches to preserve him for the playoffs. But, you know, that's easy to talk about on a Tuesday, yeah, and a Wednesday and a Thursday, but when it's Sunday and you need those yards,
yeah,
do you want to go to Zeke or are you going to go to whomever the backup was, you know, at that time? Who and so I get that, but I bring up the Deshaun Watson thing to kind of build on what you're saying. Deshaun Watson threw for 350 yards on Sunday night. Dak Prescott barely threw for 200. Did he get to 200? He got to 200.
I mean, Dak, yeah.
And this is now a league in which throwing for 300 yards is...
This offense sucks, man. But it's really bad.
Right. It's bad, and there are so many reasons why, but I agree that it's not like you look at Dak the same way you look at Deshaun Watson. I think if you're a Texans fan, you're looking at Deshaun Watson as your franchise quarterback.
Absolutely.
Maybe Dak becomes that.
We used to look at Dak like that.
What's it?
We used to. But I think the Atlanta game broke him, dude. I think the Atlanta game
broke him last year.
So there were a couple plays. Do you remember the pass in the game to Swaim, where Swaim caught it and just picked it off the ground, basically? Like, it was Swaim was open.
You're talking about this pass?
Yeah. Dak threw it into the ground. And J.J. Watt was closing in on him, but it wasn't like closing in on him enough where Dak didn't have time to set his feet. It's like little things like that. I'm like, his mechanics don't even look right now to me. To me, when there's pressure, and there was pressure in this game, as there always will be when you play Houston, like, just a completely different guy than the Detroit game.
Yeah.
Detroit game, he looked comfortable in the pocket, made some good throws, looked fine. That you can win with. You can win with that version of Dak. The version of Houston, you can win with that guy. Somehow they were able to stay in the game. But, man, when the pressure was on, he made some awful choices and some awful throws with his mechanics being bad. There was a couple times where he would fold back. There's one time he folded back out of field goal range when the pressure was on and trying to escape and make the play, extend the play. And we've seen him make great plays extending the play as well. So, but there's just a lot there that makes you go, man, I'm not sold on Dak yet. And that's where you're nervous. You're hoping you kind of would be by now.
And that's why I think you've got to use Dak for all that he's worth and not preserve him for five, 6 years.
And
that's
he's your quarterback next year. No mistake about it. People are going to – there's a lot of people out there who want to say put Cooper Rush in, which is crazy. But there's a lot of people who are saying, I might as well go find the new quarterback now. Fourth year of this very team-friendly contract. If things don't get better, likely a new regime comes in, head coach, offensive coordinator, I would imagine. Maybe not. But he's going to get another shot next year, you know, if this year doesn't, you know, improve quickly. But this all happened in that Atlanta game, and that's where it all started. And I think it broke the kid.
Yeah, that's
fair. I mean,
fair.
When you get hit and you don't know and you can't even trust. Now, there's not a lot of trust in that offensive line anymore, obviously. I mean, we saw Garrett not go for it right there on 4th-and-1.
Which that, I mean, that's brutal. Change.
It's brutal, but didn't it tell you a lot? Didn't it tell you they don't really trust the offensive line a little bit?
Is that a lack of trust in the offensive line, or is that Garrett being Garrett? Because I'll tell you one thing that I heard him say, or heard someone say, they used the word risk when assessing that play. The, you know, didn't want to risk it. And I guess in 1998, that would make sense. I feel like we have advanced philosophically in such a way to where people don't consider that a risk. They just consider that a yard that needs to be picked up. Mm-hmm. And yeah, if you don't get it, you don't get it, and you're going to lose the game. And sure, I'll even give Garrett credit or the benefit of the doubt in saying if you don't get it or if you punt it, you trust your defense to maybe get you the ball back. Because you know what?
He had to say that.
Yeah.
That's what he had to lean on. But I guess...
Well, I don't... It's not like it was a 30-30 game. I mean, it was a low-scoring game. So, I get that. But I just... I don't know. I, you know, a lot of people have talked about it. You agree, I agree. I got an opportunity to win a game. I want to try and win a game rather than try not to lose.
When you kind of see Garrett, as smart as he is as a person, as a kind of a narrow-minded guy, we focus on us. We do things our way, focus on us. In the press conference yesterday, he said, no, the idea was we punt it, we get a three and out, we get the ball back, good field position, we kick a field goal and win it 19-16. Well, dude, in football, there are so many situations and outcomes possible in football. You got to be way more open-minded than this is the way it's going to go down, because it's never going to go down the way you want it to go down. So, to me, if you're telling me that you were going to get a three and out, why not just go for it there, and if you don't get it, get the three and out there? Because a field position? Right, like, that's what we're talking about? We're talking about a field position game in overtime?
Yeah, I mean, you might not get the ball back.
I mean, and I'm not saying, that's another thing. Cowboys might not have got it on fourth and one. I think it's likely they would have. Percentage just say they would have. But it's, to me, highly unlikely that they wouldn't get a touchdown. They probably end up having to settle for a field goal attempt on that drive if they get the first down. Then you got to stop Houston. So they were going to have to stop Houston either way, I think. I don't really see them scoring a touchdown. But I have issues with play calling third down. They got cute. Let's put Cole Beasley in the backfield, even though we never hand it to him. Do I not throw it up? Throw a bomb on third and one. Try to win the game. Go for the kill. Just not their DNA, man.
Okay, so two things. One, on that fourth down, had they gone for it, would you have... Okay, let's play this hypothetical. They go for it and they don't get it. Would you have been more okay if they would have gone for it and not gotten it with a run to Zeke or a sneak with Dak?
I think either way, curious. I would have been fine with it.
You're calling the play. You're Scott Linehan. What are you calling there?
I would have called quarterback sneak.
Okay, me too.
To me. Unless Clowney and Watt are lined up in the A-gap, and then you have to do something
else. Then you adjust, right. But I don't give that line a chance to get penetration and give Zeke problems before he even gets the line of scrimmage.
I also didn't really like running left. I would have ran it right behind Zach Martin on third and one, you know, so... But it's frustrating, and that's the whole thing. It seems like a guy, and he came in, and I'm not asking Garrett to be accountable. I'm not asking him to come out and say that he's wrong, because there is no right and wrong in this situation. There's a highly disagreeable act that happened. But I guess the thing that I would say is it really feels like that's a guy going down with the Titanic, doesn't it? Yeah. Doesn't it kind of feel like a guy who's just like, going out? I mean, has any head coach on the hot seat year taking more losses? If he wanted Dez, he took a loss. You know, if he wanted, you know, it just seems like there's a bunch of losses being taken. So, either way, look at it this way, Jared, 2-3 in the East. The Eagles are 2-3. The Redskins are 2-2 and looked horrible last Monday night. And the Giants are S show at 1-4. Dude, you're in the hunt. And the Jacksonville game doesn't look good on paper. That's a winnable game.
You really think
so? That's a winnable game.
I don't think that's a winnable game.
Blake Bortles is back to the old Blake.
Yeah, he was pretty bad against the Chiefs. So is Leonard? Do we know if Leonard Fournette's playing?
Leonard Fournette's out.
Oh, he's definitely out.
Fournette's out. Yeldon's
in. TJ Yeldon.
Their highest paid guard in the league, Andrew Norwell, is questionable. So it doesn't. You know,
and
we don't know if he'll
ad
play
for them. Big out season.
Honestly, they don't try to run it. If Fournette's not in there, they're going to throw it 60 times. And, you know, they do enough. They can get enough, like, yardage-wise. They moved the ball against the Chiefs in garbage time to get 450 yards passing for Bortles, but he threw four interceptions.
That was a typical Blake Bortles game.
Yeah. He threw four interceptions against a really soft defense.
All right, so my question is, and this is Star Chat, brought to you by Blankety Blank. How do you, and this is the easy thing to say, and the reality is when we look at, you know, NFL matchups, like the Rams Vikings, maybe you'd think that'd be a defensive struggle, and that ends up being, you know, one of the highest scoring games of the year. And we get a lot of that. But the obvious question is, how are the Cowboys going to, even if consistently is not the right word, move the ball enough to get points? Unless you're saying they're not going to, but turnovers will give them opportunities.
I hope turnovers are able to give them opportunities. Yeah, it doesn't look good in terms of the ball. I guess the Jaguars don't get a lot of turnovers either. It does not look good in terms of going up and getting a lot of points, you know. So they're going to have to get lucky, maybe a special teams play from Tavon, something like that. Which is like, oh, we're banking on that. I'm not banking on that, but like for them to score. But I'll say this, the Jaguars are a team that lost a game 9-6, you know, to the Titans a couple weeks ago. Now, that's not a full indictment of their offense. They're a little better than that, but there was a lot of metrics that were put out that said they're a better team without Fournette in the lineup, but I think I disagree, man. Just kind of looking at it and the way they play, they turn into a pass-heavy team. Yeldon has not been effective. They've kind of changed who they are a little bit when Fournette's not there. I mean, for me, with Bortles in the game, Bortles has thrown more interceptions of anyone since 2014. Lowest passer rating. I mean, he's back to being bad Bortles, and they committed to him.
Yeah.
And to me, if Dak can go play a better game than Bortles and just get a few completions down the field, just a couple, you know, and Zeke can be healthy. And that's another thing, Zeke gimping off the field. We knew he was kind of hurting going into the game. You start to wonder if the wear and tear is kind of affecting him a little bit too. So,
is this the Allen Hurns revenge game?
The Allen Hurns revenge game.
Is this where Allen Hurns comes out, has a dynamite performance with three catches for like 28 yards?
I Hurns is interesting because he's the guy after the game who's like, hey, we're getting separation. The wide receivers are getting separation. He goes, you can go watch the film. The wide receivers are getting separation. And I kind of agree. They are. They're just not getting the ball put on them.
Yeah. I mean, there's that one play early on where Cole Beasley was like a critical play near the red zone. Beasley runs, you know, an out, and he was wide open, and Dak didn't even look his way.
Yeah.
And he was very open.
And Cole was visibly upset about it, too. Let me ask you this, while we're talking the Jaguars real quick. So, I read this thing that the Ringer posted about the options that the Jaguars had at quarterback instead of Bortles, okay, instead of giving Bortles that deal. They could have thrown the truckload of money at Kirk Cousins. Obviously, would have been tight on the cap, probably not likely. And they couldn't have done what Minnesota did. Alex Smith, though, they could have traded for Alex Smith. Okay? I think we're looking at a team in Jacksonville who's wasting this great defense.
Yeah.
The same way maybe the Packers are wasting Aaron Rodgers.
I was just going to ask you who is wasting
the Ringer wrote
more.
That article, too.
Yeah.
Case Keenum. They could have found a way to get Teddy Bridgewater. The other name they threw out there was they could have taken Lamar Jackson where they were at in the draft. He was the next quarterback.
If I were to, I would say, and I'm not big Blake Bortles guy, but I don't know. I mean, I guess it didn't cost a lot to get Bridgewater. No. I'm less of a Bridgewater guy than I am a Bortles guy. I'm less. And I don't know. I would say that Case Keenum to me and Blake Bortles is a wash. I know that Keenum was really good last year, but I'm not sure. I don't know that Case Keenum.
So was Bortles.
You know, right, Bortles was good last year.
Yeah.
And good enough.
Cousins and Smith are, you know, without question, in my opinion, better. And I don't think that's a bold take or anything.
I mean, if he throws you the ball three times, two times, you get two interceptions, you got a chance to win.
Yeah,
you look at the Cowboys, I mean, their touchdown drive was start at the 16-yard line from the fumble, from the DeAndre Hopkins fumble. They need stuff like that, but if there's anyone that's going to do that for you, it's Bortles. Now, you do obviously worry about how you're going to score on Jacksonville. I get that.
Right. I would say the only way the Cowboys win, I don't think I'm as bullish on a Cowboys win as you are. The only way the Cowboys win is if on Monday we are sitting here talking about how the Jags just gave the game away.
Possibly, yeah.
I don't see the Cowboys winning. I don't.
Could you not see this game being a field goal match, though?
You know, I guess here's my issue with that. Yes, I could, but I just wonder if the Cowboys' offense is so poor against Jacksonville's defense that Jacksonville gets good field position.
Yeah,
and they're able to and. I'm not going to say, and I know that Kansas City's defense is way worse than Dallas's defense. I know that Jacksonville will be on the road again. But it's going to be more favorable conditions. They were playing in the rain. I'm going to go ahead and say that I think Blake Bortles has an okay game.
Okay.
I think Jacksonville, I'll go ahead and give my score. I think Jacksonville wins. We'll go 27-10.
Ew. 10 points does kind of feel about where the Cowboys are going to be, doesn't it? That 10 or 13 feel like... Doesn't feel like a gift if you get 17 against Jacksonville.
Blanky to Blank did tell us, so if the Cowboys score two touchdowns against Jacksonville, they're going to have a super special that we'll tell you about next week.
They're going to have a super special. It's and I can't wait to see what it is because I think it's going to be Halloween themed.
Yeah, Halloween themed. That's right. Yeah, because we're going to be beyond the mid-October special and get to the late October.
I think Jacksonville wins, but I think it's a closer game than people think. I think like 20 to 10, 20 to 14, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, not if they're not going to get two touchdowns. 20 to 13, something like that, you know? You gotta have a huge game from Zeke, and I know we say that every week, but the Cowboys at home have been a different team than the Cowboys have been on the road, and
they've been
the pattern continues. This is 3-3 team. Then you take on Washington, and then we'll see what happens. You know, honestly, the goal is just be 3-4 at the bye week, then take a look and see where you're at here, because Eagles and Giants are gonna go beat up on each other. It's not out of the question to think the Giants could beat the Eagles.
Nope,
I don't think they will. But that happens on Thursday night. There's a lot of things that could happen.
The
Cowboys are going to hang around. There's a lot of Cowboy fans don't even want them hanging around. They want them losing so Garrett's fired.
Right. You want to go? Let's go around the NFL then.
Yeah.
So Cowboys-Eagles or Giants-Eagles is the Thursday night game. It's in New York. Giants finally put up 30-plus points. It's something that they should be doing more often. Saquon's pretty damn good. Eric Flowers finally getting released.
Eric Flowers finally on the block if you want him.
Go get
him.
Big day. This Eagles team's interesting, man. I think did we talk about this on here?
Or did I talk about this with someone else? Or I just talk about this with you in person or with someone else? The Doug Peterson hype train is a little much. And I said this before the year started. If you go look at his fourth down numbers, yes, there are some great things. But if you to go a little bit deeper in all of the fourth downs, I don't have them in front of me, the percentage is not as great. He didn't always go for it as much as people think he did. Like, that's just, that's interesting. There was a report today, though, that the Eagles have inquired with the Bills about LaShawn McCoy.
That'd be interesting.
That's
because
interesting.
Because J.H.I. out for the year.
J.H.I. out for the year.
Bell would be an interesting fit there, the way they use their running backs. Atlanta hosting Tampa. Atlanta's 1-4. I'll tell you what, this to me is more like Matt Ryan. I mean, he's putting up good numbers, but to me, when I think of Matt Ryan, fair or unfair, I think of a guy who puts up really good numbers who just doesn't win enough games.
Kind of like Kirk Cousins?
I would go so far as to say that Kirk Cousins has played on less talented teams. Like the year that Kirk Cousins got the Redskins to the playoffs, they lost to the Packers. I think that was more Kirk Cousins doing good things and making guys around him better, and I don't know that it's Matt Ryan's fault, because we've talked about this. You can't tie wins to a quarterback. Defenses play a part. But this is just like, when I think of Matt Ryan's career, I think of a guy who puts up really good numbers, but
I think
teams just don't win.
I'm more high on Matt Ryan than you are, clearly.
And when I say teams don't win, by the way, I know that he's been on playoff teams. I'm not saying 1-4,
sure.
But I'm just saying, like, it always seems like they could do more.
When you look at the Falcons being 1-4, and then you go, wow, the Packers, the Vikings, the Eagles all have 2 wins, it kind of changes the way I think about that Atlanta team. I think they've just been really unlucky. They haven't done enough to win. Their defense has been beaten up. But that's a team, to me, that's better than 1-4. So,
oh, absolutely. I think that, you know, I think G-Bag did an exercise yesterday. They went through every team that has an equal or lesser record than the Cowboys and, you know, ask whether or not they'll end up with a better record. I think the Falcons, without question.
Yeah, there's one I'll pass them.
Yeah. All right, you got Cincy hosting Pittsburgh. Hey, Cincy 4-1, and it's a big game for Pittsburgh.
This is a great, huge game for both teams, really.
But
Cincinnati can really bury Pittsburgh if they, you know, get a win and go to 5-1.
Do you believe in Cincy?
I don't necessarily believe in them because of Dalton, but, man, the extra weapons and Tyler Boyd and John Ross, when he's healthy, been huge. The Eifert injury obviously changed things. Joe Mixon's good.
Yeah.
You know, Joe Mixon's really good. Changes the whole offense. They kind of base the offense around him now instead of A.J. Green. So I think Cincinnati's a very interesting team right there at 4-1.
So in an offense-heavy league, the Bengals have given up 23-23. 31, 36, and 17.
Go out, score them.
This is not your Bengals D of old necessarily.
Yeah.
Earlier in the Marvin Lewis tenure, but, Pittsburgh's not really bringing a tough defense either. That's going to be a high scoring game. The Browns hosting the Chargers. I think this is a winnable game for the Browns.
It's an interesting game. It's a measuring stick game for the Browns.
Good. I love the measuring stick game.
Are you a fringe playoff team? Because that's what the Chargers are every year.
Would that be 7 inches or on the, like, on the measuring
well, in this
stick.
Game, it's week six. It's going to be 6 inches.
6 inches. Okay, yeah. So this is a 6-inch game. Yeah. Are the Chargers a playoff team? Is that what you asked? I was more fixated on the 6 or 7 inches. Is that what were you asking me? I'm sorry.
No. This I mean, I'm saying the Chargers are generally a fringe playoff
yeah.
team.
Yeah. So,
Cleveland, go beat them and prove you're a fringe playoff team.
They're 1-point favorites on the road. Be a good test for Baker. He hasn't blown you away statistically, but there's something about the guy. It's just you got
to
watch him.
Fun to watch.
Keep your eyes on him. Houston hosting Buffalo. Houston heavy favorites. Obviously, Houston needs this game. Buffalo's interesting though. They go and they absolutely tear apart Minnesota. Then they can't do a single thing against the Packers, in large part because of Josh Allen. And then last week they go and they get a win, and they don't. You know, it's a brutal 13-12 game. I just don't know, like, how to. Are they like a bad but competitive team, or are they a horrible team?
I think this team lacks that clear cut worst team in the league. You know, I mean, the Raiders could go win a game.
Yeah,
you know, so it's like, I think they lack that.
Miami hosting Chicago. We've talked about this. I don't believe in Miami. I don't think you do either. I do believe in Chicago. This should be a big road win though for the Bears. If the Bears want to be a playoff team and win a division, with Minnesota doing what they did on Sunday,
type of game you got to go win.
You got to go win. Yep. Agree. Minnesota hosting the Cardinals. That might be one of the worst games of the week.
Absolutely.
Minnesota. That was a big win for them against the Eagles on the road. 1-3-1 looks a lot worse than 2-2-1, especially with the Packers losing to the Lions. The Jets hosting Indy. I said this last year. I was not a believer in my guy Sam Darnold. And frankly, Sam Darnold to me has been very, very inconsistent. I know he made some nice plays last game. Especially went over the top against the Ravens a little bit. But I'm not sold on Sam Darnold.
I mean, it's hard to judge him when his number one target is Robbie Anderson.
And then you got
Quincy Enunwa.
Yeah.
It's real hard for me to, you know, really. I think Andrew Luck's improving a little bit. I mean,
curious to see how many times he throws.
It's weird they make him throw it 60 times a game, but he does look. He's looked better. I've seen more zip on the ball since the preseason. You just notice it.
Oakland at Seattle.
Blah.
Yeah.
We'll got Seattle, though, always doing their bit, hanging around.
Thought they might steal one on
hanging
Sunday.
Around. Nearly stole one from the Rams.
Washington hosting Carolina.
You know, that's a game Washington really needs a bounce back game. Obviously, here in Cowboy Land, we'll be pulling for the Redskins' loss. Carolina, a team that I have trouble taking seriously, as they fart around with the Giants and they don't seem to ever really have any consistency. But I'll be damned, every time they play, you see Christian McCaffrey make a play, and you go, "Well, they can kind of beat you a number of ways."
Denver hosting the Rams. Denver's D is not as good as it used to be. Tennessee hosting Baltimore.
Yeah, Denver's brutal. Vance Joseph's going to get canned.
Yeah. New England hosting Kansas City. That's the best game of the week. That's a fun one.
Mm-hmm. Best game of the week,
be
for
good
sure.
test for Mahomes. You know, he's done really well on the road. It'll be another road test. This time he's going up against Bill Belichick. And then Monday night, Green Bay hosting San Francisco. That's not a good game. All right, you want to quickly do our Power 5?
Top 5.
You go first.
Number 1.
You're going number 1?
Or should we start at 5? Let's start at 5.
Let's go 5.
We should start at 5. It's a bad move by me. Number 5, the New Orleans Saints.
Okay, I like it.
Just drilling the Redskins last night. I thought that was awesome.
All 7 inches.
Number 4, how many?
Six, week 5, 5 inches. That was a 5-inch measure in that game.
The 5-inch?
Well, that was 5 because it was week 5. It was 5 inches.
I didn't know you were going to have that many inches in there. Wow. Number 4.
I didn't feel it, you know, just kind of, that was eyeball test.
Is it bad that I'm going to put the Bengals in the top 5?
No, do your thing.
I'm going to let them hang for now. I'm going to kick them out later. They're not going to stay there. I'm just going to give them 1 week of love.
Yeah, give it to them.
3, I'm going to keep the Patriots in the mix there.
Yep.
Okay. Number 2 is clearly the Rams. Number 1, the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So, put a lot of thought into that too, Jared.
You did. I know. I'm going to go with, is my number 5 team. I'm going to go with the Minnesota Vikings.
The Browns?
Maybe the Cardinals. Big win for them. I'm going to go with the Vikings.
Okay.
I'm a believer in them.
Me too.
Maybe I need to start putting the Bears in my top 5, but I'm not doing that yet. The Patriots are my number 4.
Okay.
The Saints are my number 3. I've got as my number 2 the Chiefs, and I got as my number 1 the Rams.
Rams over the Chiefs.
I got the Rams over the Chiefs.
Woo!
I'm going Rams over the Chiefs. I'm a believer.
Don't they play in Mexico in a couple weeks?
Is that like a knock on them or?
No.
You think like Trump will then like kick them out of the NFL for doing that?
They're both going to be undefeated if they if the Chiefs can get by the Patriots.
That'll be a good one. Yeah.
It's November 19th. So we got a long way to go.
Okay. Yeah. That's after my wedding. So that's more than
which team's more likely to go undefeated, Rams or Chiefs?
Rams.
I think it's the Rams.
I think the Rams do. Without looking at their schedules, I'd say the Rams. I like Sean McVay.
Man, what a week.
Hey, KT, this is fun. Let's do it again next week.
I bet we will.
We ran out of steam towards the end, would you say?
Yeah.
Blankety Blank needs to refuel us with some of their great products.
I need to be refueled by the Blankety Blank special, mid-October special.
Gotta love those mid-October specials. Be back next week. Thanks for joining.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.